Turn with me this morning back to the book of James, second chapter. Well, after this week, I'm beginning to believe in global warming. Boy, it was hot at our place, I mean. I believe one time, wasn't it up to 107? I believe 107 at one. Yeah, that's what that thing says it's reading, I guess it is. It's kind of between the houses out there, but I couldn't argue with it. It was hot, hot. Book of James, second chapter again. It's a thought or two. The book of James is written to the 12 tribes. Been a lot written about the 12 tribes and the 10 tribes and what happened to them. They're still there. Still there. They are wisdom for us. They were written to the called of the Lord, that's for sure. No other people can carry out the command of the Lord. And they only by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we do those things. So it's quite evident that it's written to the people of God. And it's profitable. Always profitable. It is written that we might know how to fulfill the law. Now, the law, in the strict sense, is fulfilled in Jesus Christ Himself, but it's also fulfilled in His people, in that they love one another, or show love one to another, and Paul's mentioned that quite often, and the to one another is like this. We judge one another without partiality. We care for one another, and we look out after one another, and we do it by faith. And that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. But it's all unto good works. Which some people say, well, you ought not have to work anymore. No good works. But the scripture is absolutely opposite to that. It's all of good works. And man can only do it by the faith of Jesus Christ. We have a lot of problem with that, this faith deal, and especially in our day, it has been so misused. And they try to apply the faith of man to doing what is right. But the faith of man is so weak, it's weak through the flesh. It cannot carry out any love. It just cannot have any compassion, especially for the people of God. It's always judging in a partial manner. Read a few verses here again. I guess in verse 2, he said, "For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and a goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man and buy a raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you then not partial in yourselves?" And this is a problem with man. That's the way he's built. You can talk about nature. That's the nature of man. He cannot judge outside of love of Christ. If he has not the love of Christ, he's not going to judge anything outside of being partial. And he's especially not going to judge himself. And that's where I'd kind of like to go this morning, is we ought to judge ourselves first. And the whole deal is get the beam out of your own eye before you go talking to the brother to get his little mode out. So we ought to judge ourselves that we might be faithful to love the brethren. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, nor become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of the world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he had promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, and ye do well. This makes me think of their believing. Thou believest there's a God. Yeah, you do well. But it's not enough. You must love the brethren. Else there is nothing else. You're impartial. You're partial, I mean, and not impartial. You're always looking at things from a fleshly standpoint. But if it's looking from a godly standpoint, then you show love one to another. You'll do for the other. Always looking after their welfare. He said, but if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Not only that, but your conscience bear you witness of it also. It's always there in man nagging him, but he'll deny it every time outside of the faith of Jesus Christ. That gives him good judgment. How do you judge anybody or yourself? By the truth. If you have not the truth, then there isn't any impartial judgment. So it all lies in the truth of God. In the book of Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 1, he said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. This is an old point here. Nobody's above that. He said, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, now that's not too hard to do, is it? We've all been there. If you say you hadn't, we'll need to talk out back in a little bit. Oh, yeah, they all do that. We all do that. When he is nothing, what does he do? He deceives himself. Well, you know, I really am not quite that bad. And I'm not guilty of that. But you're just one step away from it always. Outside of the love of Christ and the brethren. They're to hold one another up. Might say stand in the gap. Look out after one another. He said, but let every man prove his own work. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Won't need people patting you on the back and telling you how good you are if you make the proper judgment. But it must be one based on the truth. Who are we? Nothing. Absolutely nothing outside of Christ. He said, for every man shall bear his own burden. Now, you're not going to get around that. You're going to bear your own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Then he said, be not deceived. That's pretty easy to do, be deceived. We was talking on the way down here. I said, people read the scripture. It can be there black and white. Scripture talks about the simplicity of it. And man will say, we don't know if that is really what that means or not. But that's the way we are. In the book of Romans, 15th chapter, we may also say, well, we don't judge. People do say that. But I'm sorry, every man does. 15th chapter. The book of Romans, verse 1 said, moreover, brethren, I'm in the wrong chapter, got to get back to the book of Romans. Said, when we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Now, this is the whole reason for the whole thing. That the body might be edified. If it isn't for edification, then it won't do you any good. He said, for even Christ pleased not himself. This is our example again. He's always there as our example. But he said, as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Now, this is another thought here. With man in his salvation, he's always learning. It has to be taught. We don't just get this. It don't just drop out of the sky on you, in other words. Keep having to look into the perfect law of liberty to understand and learn. Learning that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. be edified. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. That's the reason set forth that we are received, that we might glorify God, that we might do it through the body, one, all in the unity of faith. The same faith that we read last week when we started off in this second chapter of James. The same faith of Jesus Christ that is set forth in his people that they might love one another. It might show love to one another in their deeds. Good work. That's what it's all about. Lord went about doing good works. We're talking about next verse. I wasn't going to go here. It just brought up something I was saying on the way down. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Well, that's who he is talking to when he wrote the letter, James, to the ones of the circumcision, not the uncircumcised, ones that are circumcised in the heart, not in the flesh. So I was telling Betty that on the way, I'm preaching on the way down a little bit this morning, so. Anyway, we got on something else, but it's all about the body and the body judging itself. It must always be learning and judging. That's the only way we ever have any difference in ourselves. If we judge ourselves, if we don't understand what sin is, then how in the world can we understand how to correct it? So we must see those things. The book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter. We could have went to a lot of places, by the way. Now we could have went on and on and on with this, but just a few places I chose to go. 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians. Verse 5, he said, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. I was thinking about these things. I got thinking about how most people have got some kind of an idea that what they're doing is not where they really ought to be. They have been unjustly treated. Ought to be the boss, not the worker. The Israelite people got off out in the wilderness and said, Moses, you've led us out here to kill us. We shouldn't have been here. And all the time he was teaching them how to obey. Well, it isn't any different than Christ. He learned obedience. And we would murmur about our station in life, especially in our country. We got it so good. We thought we had it a little rough when we was coming up, but looking back, it was nothing to it. His piece of cake. Done us good. We was in the place that we were supposed to. We'd done a lot of murmuring and kept looking for a cloud to come over and say, man, I wish it rained so we could go to the house. A lot of time Dad would say, we'd get to the house and he'd say, well, get the axe and the crosscut saw and we'll go do something else. Couldn't work in the field. Hurt our feelings, but I'm convinced today that it was good. But man has got a propensity to curse God and say, I ought not be treated this way. I ought not be a slave. And it hits me nowadays that the people are trying to get out from under slavery and they're becoming more and more enslaved all time. Slavery was a bad thing in one sense and in another it was a blessing. Them people that got over here from Africa, they want something for their troubles. No, they ought to be thanking God that they hauled them over here and dumped them out. And somebody bought them. But that's the way we are. And in verse 6, he said, not with eye service. As men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Well, he goes on, and ye masters, oh wait a minute, verse 8, he said, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. It was good for you to be there. God has set meets and bounds for all men. Why do we whine and grumble about our station in life? People are so lazy and more than they don't want to work. Why is that? Because God commanded it. If you're going to eat, you're going to have to work. Going on, and he said, and ye masters do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Well, he saved us before we done any good or evil. He's no respecter of persons. He'd have us to believe today that he looked down through time and seeing what you was going to do.
No.
He made you to do it. So, we must have respect unto our Heavenly Father in whatever station in life we are. In 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. In verse 21, he said, art thou called being a servant? Yeah, that's what it is. Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. So whatever station in life you are, use it to the glory of God. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that called, being free, is Christ's servant. In verse 23 he said, ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Don't show any partiality. Always look unto the Lord for proper judgment. I think about that little maiden, that little Jewish Israelite maiden was a servant of Naaman the Syrian. He had leprosy. Instead of her clapping her hands and saying, "Goody, goody for you, I'm glad," she said, "No, I know where you can get cured." And he went and he got cured. But how can ye believe which receive honor one from another and seek not that honor which cometh from God? But it is man's nature. Big I, isn't it? What we used to say, big I and little you. As kids, we didn't know what we were saying really, except it was just a taunt, wasn't it? But we learn, thankfully, by the mercy and grace of God, we learn who we really are. So let everyone think more highly of another than of himself. And certainly we think altogether of our Lord Jesus Christ.